had Leah post on Facebook that I was going to bring the word tonight entitled, Your Miracle is in the House. And she did a very good job and made sure that was taken care of. So I want to talk to you about this thought that your miracle is in the house. Miracles, I have several thoughts here, so just follow me as we go. Miracles are connected to heaven's atmosphere. A heavenly miracle cannot take place on earth without the atmosphere of heaven to back it up. And you think about heaven's atmosphere, and we sit here not having a clue about heaven's atmosphere because we haven't yet been there to experience what a powerful and wonderful place that it is. But when you look at Isaiah and what he wrote in Isaiah chapter 6, let's just walk through these verses and let me unpack them. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. Now try to visualize this. Sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two they covered their face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And then one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Verse 4. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. The foundation shook. It was noisy. It was loud. One thing about heaven is it's probably going to be very loud, but all of our ears will be healed so it won't bother anybody. No earplugs given to you before you come into the sanctuary. It won't be necessary. Amen. And then it says, the house was filled with smoke, that glory of God. Now, he's witnessing the power and the atmosphere of heaven, and it affects him. He says, woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. It's seeing the Lord that will show us how unrighteous we are and how needy we are for him. But he doesn't leave us in this position of being needy. Notice that one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken from the tongs, with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. Aren't you glad that when you saw Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit convicted you of your sin, you didn't stay in that condition of being convicted, but you responded to the Holy Spirit. He brought you to Jesus, and Jesus saved you because your sins were atoned for. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. 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 Now, here's the principle to understand. Wherever Jesus was, heaven's atmosphere was with him. You need to understand that. Wherever he was, heaven's atmosphere was with him. He carried the atmosphere of heaven. The Bible says that his name is like ointment poured forth, that his anointing is like the ointment poured forth. And if you read the word picture in John 12, 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with Jesus at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed his feet, the feet of Jesus, and wiped them with her hair. And it says, the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. This is an example, a word picture of what it's like to come into the presence of God. When the presence of God comes into a place, it fills the house. It fills the atmosphere. It changes the atmosphere. If darkness was residing in this building the minute that we walked in, where two or three are gathered together, Jesus is in the midst. The minute we walked in, the atmosphere changed. Hallelujah to His name. It filled the house, the presence and the power of God. Luke 5:17 says, and it came to pass on a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Now watch this sentence. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of heaven, the power of that great place heaven, the anointing of heaven was present to heal them. Wherever Jesus went, He carried with Him the presence of heaven. Come on now. Watch this. Mark 5:25. And a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years. Sometimes we see these stories and we hear these stories, but we miss important things. Watch this. This is the American Standard Version. And a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of physicians and had spent all she had was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And having heard the things concerning Jesus, she came in the crowd behind and touched His garment. For she said, if I touch His garment, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body, hallelujah, that she was healed of her plague. Verse 30, interesting scripture. And straightway Jesus, perceiving in Himself that the power proceeding from Him had gone forth. Now, I want to break this down. Yeah, that's not going to read that. The American Standard reads it from the original. Perceiving in Himself that power that was proceeding from Him. In other words, wherever He goes, there's always power that's proceeding from Him. The presence of God was there to heal. The power of God was with Him to heal. So this, He's got this constant flow of power of heaven flowing out of Him as He goes wherever He goes. And He says that power proceeding from Him went forth. In other words, He sensed that somebody connected with that power. Hello, somebody. Preach, preacher, preach, preacher. Come on. The power proceeding from Him, always flowing from Him, found somebody who had a need, found somebody who had faith. That's what the power of God is looking for. There's no lack of the power of God. Let me tell you that right now. There's no lack of the power of God. The power of heaven is just as real today as it was when God first created heavens and the earth. What Jesus is looking for and what the Holy Spirit is looking for is somebody who has faith in what Jesus says so that the faith of God and the power of God can be directed toward that person. And when that power comes and connects with that faith, the miracle in the house happens in your life. Glory. Somebody praise Him. Hallelujah. It turned around and said to the crowd, who touched my garments? Now catch this. And the disciples said unto him, don't you see the multitude that's thronging you? In other words, that's pressing up against you. They're bumping into you. People are touching you with their shoulders and their elbows and their hands. And they're banging into you from all sides. What do you mean, who touched me? And he says, he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. And this woman was fearing and trembling. There's a whole history behind this. Many years ago, whenever I would preach on this miracle about her reaching out and touching the hem of the garment, I would preach about how she got out on her hands and knees and crawled in the dust and barely made it to the bottom of his hem, the bottom of his robe. And she reached out and touched the bottom of his robe. Well, it preached good, but it's not what the Bible says. The hem of the garment is the fringe, is the corner of the prayer shawl. The kanaf in Hebrew. The tassel. And she touched the tassel. And there are rules that go along with owning a tallit as a Jew. And I'll spare you many of the other rules. They're marvelous to look into. But one rule is that you're not allowed to touch another person's tallit unless you're in the family. This is why she was so afraid. She was unclean. The law said she was unclean. And she knew that if she would touch his tallit, it would be breaking tradition. So she's breaking tradition two ways. By being around people that she's not supposed to be around because she's unclean. And by touching someone else's prayer shawl when she's not family. Now, let me read it again. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what she had done and what had been done to her, came and fell behind him and told him the truth. And the first thing he says to her, "Daughter." Does anybody grab a hold of that? He called her family. "Daughter, go in peace." Here's the point. We tend to seek the miracles and benefits that Jesus does. If we are lost, we seek to be saved. If we're sick, we seek to be healed. If we're bound with chains of the enemy, we seek for the chains to be broken. If we're demon-oppressed or demon-possessed, we seek to be delivered. This seems like a very small thing. It may seem like semantics, but getting it right means the difference of success or failure. What are you saying, preacher? The atmosphere of heaven is present wherever Jesus is. The miracle we need is in the person of Jesus. If Jesus is in the house, the miracle we need is in the house. Come on now. In Luke 19, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see Jesus. But on account of the crowd, for he could not because he was such a small stature, so he ran ahead and climbed up in the sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house." The miracle is in the house. "I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone to be a guest of a man who is a sinner." What a novel idea for Jesus. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I will give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house." For salvation to come, all you need is Jesus. Hello? Zacchaeus, listen now, did not need to be saved. He needed a Savior. Hear me. He needed a relationship with the person Jesus. Mark chapter 2 reads, "And again Jesus entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately upon hearing this, the crowds gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Hallelujah. If it gets noised abroad that Jesus is in the house, you're going to have a lot of help to deal with the crowd control. What we learned from the revivals of old of America is all we needed was one miracle to take place. And since, you know, it's, they say it's telegraph, telephone, telehuman. That way I won't be considered just chauvinist, because I'm not. But all we needed was one miracle. Just one miracle is all we needed. And then it would get noised abroad. I was about 12 years old in my dad's church in Vandalia, Michigan. It's a village that was very active under the days of freeing black people from slavery. And dad had a nice church there, ran about 60, 70 people, small church. And we had a man, an evangelist, come and hold us to revival. And he was preaching the very first night. And he walked down the aisle, and the word of knowledge worked through him powerfully. He walked down the aisle, and he pointed at a man. He says, "You have a crippled leg." And the man says, "Yes, I do." And the preacher says, "You got that crippled leg from a car accident." And the man said, "Yes, that's true." And he said, the preacher said, "And the car accident was about 6 to 7 years ago." And the man said, "That is true." He says, "Well, before I finish preaching, I'm going to pray for you and God's going to heal your leg." So the man got up and walked down the aisle and had a big limp because his leg was about 4 inches shorter than his other leg. And it wasn't during the time period where they put plates in your leg. Your leg just healed as it was. And if it was broken, it healed broken. And so he sat that man down. And I was sitting in the front row. And he turned and he looked at me. Didn't know me at all. He turned and he looked at me. He says, "You, come here. You're going to help perform this miracle." And so I came over to him. He said, "Get on your knees." I got on my knees. He says, "Grab those feet." I grabbed those feet. And I held them up, and you could see very plainly that one of them was much shorter, 4 to 5 inches shorter than the other. And the evangelist says, "Now, on the count of three, young man, I want you to push that short leg and keep pushing it. Don't let it grow out." And he said, "In the name of Jesus." And when he said that, I pushed with all of my might, and boom, 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 boom. That leg jerked about 4 to 5 times, an inch at a time. And then we looked down, and his heels were totally even. He had his hands raised. He was crying. He was in convulsions of tears. I was stunned. I didn't know what to do. I just saw that. Little did I know that later on in ministry, that's one of the ways that God would use me to bring healing to people that needed to be healed in their back and in their spine. Little did I know, but all it took was that miracle. Next night, the service was packed. We had them wall-to-wall people, and it was wall-to-wall people until we were through with the revival. All you need is one miracle and the word to get out that Jesus is in the house, and then the crowds will come. Am I preaching tonight? Hallelujah. Daughter, if you don't sit down, you're running around too much. I love you, but you're distracting me. Thank you. Matthew 4. I want to read this. Well, let me read Matthew 9 first. Then Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing some sicknesses and some diseases. Healed every sickness. You got to hear that word of the Lord. Every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 4:23-24. This is powerful. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and every affliction among the people, everyone. And his fame spread throughout all Syria. And they brought him all the sick. They brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them all. And they brought to him those that had cancer, and they brought to them those that had Parkinson's, and they brought to them those that had whatever the sickness is. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed from all disease. Dementia, healed in the name of Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? This is the word of God. It is the truth. He healed them all. How did he do that? Because the atmosphere and the presence of heaven was with him. If we are lost, we need to seek the Savior to be saved. If we are sick, we need to seek the healer to be saved. Now, this is interesting. Listen, if we are sick, we don't need to seek to be healed. Hear me. If we're sick, we seek the healer. If we need to be saved, we don't seek salvation, we seek the Savior. That's so important. If we're bound with chains of the enemy, we need to seek the chain breaker, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who breaks every chain. If we're demon oppressed or possessed, we need to seek the deliverer to be delivered. The miracle we need is in Jesus. Saving, listen, this is important. Saving is not what Jesus does, it's who he is, the Savior. Healing is not what Jesus does, it's who he is, the healer. Breaking chains is not what Jesus does, it's who he is, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the chain breaker. Delivering is not what Jesus does, it's who he is, he's the deliverer. When Jesus is in the house, our miracle is in the house. We don't need to look for the miracle we need. We look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hear this word. The miracle is in Jesus, and Jesus is in the house. Our miracle is in the house right now because Jesus is in the house right now. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. The miracle you need is here right now because Jesus is here right now. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. I feel the Lord all over that. Thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord. If you need a touch from the Lord before we take communion,